everybody. Welcome to episode 194.
194. Kicking
yes,
down the door.
Kicking down the door. Today's November 13th, 2012. I'm one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy. Gamertag Murphy's Law, kind of, sort of, almost everywhere. Not really. But, yeah, with us this week, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
What up, yo? I still have my new, now not so new, microphone.
That's good. And I may be looking out for a new microphone myself because just prior to the podcast, broke my headset, sheared off my my ear cup. It's good. I'm telling
yeah,
you.
Yeah, not
that.
Good. This one's $15.
Okay. I like the cost of yours. And it gives you that deep, sexy, you know,
yeah.
baritone.
The $15 won't get you my sultry voice, but it will get you a microphone with both ear cups attached.
That's more than I could ask for. Also this week with us, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Hello, y'all. You all right?
I'm good, Rich.
Good.
And you?
Yes, I'm great.
Yeah, you are. You are having a phenomenal day. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. not joining us this week, Mr. Mike Chin. He had some personal issues come up, but let's be honest, after the debacle that was, the posting of episode 193, the recording, the slowdown voices, the missing audio segments, and then we finally got it all together, guys. He did post up the proper show.
I listened to about 45 minutes of it and I was like, were we all drunk during the show? I was like, surely not. But it's what it sounded like.
Yeah, I didn't notice it until about the 20-minute mark. And then I think that's when something switched on Mike's end. I don't know what he did. But, yeah, everybody started talking slow and deep. And, yeah. And then I realized he also left out the audio. So, it was an all-around bang-up job for Mike. And so, you know, we told him we're going to put him also on paid administrative leave this week. Subject to a review of his performance and possible termination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you get. Don't mess around.
Exactly.
Don't mess around with the OC show.
Yes. So I believe Rich is mailing him a package of sweet tarts. That's what we pay him every week. And, yeah, I think we're good to go. Let's talk games, guys.
Games.
Let's do that.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so games. Rich, we're going to put you on hold for a little bit. You've got this fantastic day. I know you're dying to talk about it, but I want to talk to Mr. Matthew about the Halos, the four of those Halos.
The four of the Halos.
Yes.
I only played Halo 4 this week. I didn't play any of the other ones.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I did as well. Although I did play a little Madden 13, but we don't need to talk about that because apparently I suck at Madden 13, and or they have tweaked that game to the point that I still suck at Madden 13. I don't know. Either way.
I'm terrible at Madden, just Madden, so it's all good.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but somewhere along the line, one of these patches, suddenly I cannot score to save my life against any team. I mean, I'm scratching out 10 points, and I'm, like, excited.
I'll tell you what happened, Greg. I'll tell you what happened. You got married.
That's also part of the issue, I think.
I had my very first semester teaching. This is a random story. Story. You get it. My very first semester teaching, I'm not sure how they got me on the subject, but my cadets started asking me about impressing women. It was a random. I only had men in this particular class. Usually there's mixed genders, so they got me on this topic, and I was like, "Look, guys, I've been married for 10 years now. I've been with the same woman since I was 19. I can't even spell game. You're asking the wrong guy." Anyway, that was a random story that has nothing to do with Halo 4. Keep going.
Well, you know, I'm going to just tack on to that. I think if you're actually having to talk about and try to figure out how to impress women, you're doing it completely wrong.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to try to impress women. That should come naturally.
Well, these dudes are 19, so they don't have it yet. They got to learn.
Then again, if they just grew a mustache like Rich, yeah, that would be impressive.
I also find that the caveman club tactic works quite well.
Yeah. That also usually lands you in prisoners. Yeah. Prison sentences, rape, sure. Back to Halo 4. Let's get back to Halo 4. So I dove headfirst into Halo 4. Have been, I think, probably equal time campaign and multiplayer. Well, maybe a little more multiplayer than campaign. I'm finding the campaign much more difficult on the heroic settings. Again, this could be just me getting old and married, but it seems like they have ramped up the difficulty significantly.
They have expanded, I think, the size of the maps and a lot of the more where a lot of times in the previous versions it was kind of smaller and you could find a place to hide and take your time.
Right.
This new the fact that they can make it so much bigger. You know, I found there was one part where I was trying to work my way through a very open area and I would be dealing with one group of enemies and I'd have another group of enemies from across the map shooting at me.
Right.
And that was kind of making it problematic. I did eventually get through it. It seems a little more challenging, but I don't know, not a lot more maybe. That's just me. I'm only very early in a campaign. I'm only on the third mission.
Well, I'll say this. I played the campaign. I had my first dabble in Spartan Ops today. And Spartan Ops, unfortunately, it locks the difficulty level at normal your first playthrough, I believe. I could be wrong, but for whatever reason, the difficulty level was locked at normal. And I breezed through that. And kind of comparing that back to playing the campaign on Heroic, I was just like, this is night and day.
Yeah.
But I'm loving the challenge. Don't get me wrong. I find that the combat is intense, and it is just so good. And I'm really enjoying the story. I know a lot of people were like, well, it's real linear, and it's a lot of, you know, you're running forward to press a button or to activate something. I don't really have a problem with that.
Isn't that all first-person shooters, though? I mean, you shoot stuff, and then you go,
right,
and you shoot more.
Yeah, shooting stuff and activating stuff. That's pretty much what it boils down to.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, you'll get the occasional escort this mission, and those are here. But I loved the one mission that I've come across so far that was like that. I found that to be thoroughly entertaining, so, yeah. The Halo 4, it's good.
It is good.
In fact, I would say it's great.
Yep.
My personal take.
I think that's accurate.
Accurate? Good.
Accurate.
Good.
Oh, hold on. I got one more. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been playing. I had to type it in the notes because otherwise I can't talk about it. I just played, before we started the show, the Lego Lord of the Rings demo. Just because
I know.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know somebody else that played this. So I'm curious to hear your take on it.
Well, the gameplay itself is kind of more of the same from the Lego games. I don't know if this demo is maybe not fully fleshed out because there were a few very weird bits. So there's one bit where I kind of got pulled into watching an event happen. And while I was watching that event happen, there were two bad guys just kind of wailing on my character, which I was not able to control at the time. And then immediately upon receiving control back from the cutscene, I was broken into Lego bits. I was like, that's kind of stupid. Now, granted, this is Lego game, so you just come back and keep playing.
Right.
I was afraid that this would be the case, and it was. The adding of the voices to the Lego people doesn't work for me. So they've almost tried, I think, too hard to recreate the movie. I'm not 100% certain, but it sounds like the voices are actually the sound from the movie. Like they've just taken the audio from the movie and put it in there.
What? And I'm ignorant to the Lego Lord of the Rings game. I mean, do you know, is it following the same trilogy of the movies?
Yes.
Okay, so I suppose that very well could be. Then they just took the audio.
Yeah, the demo is the battle at Helm's Deep.
Got it.
From the second movie. So Yeah, and so it's sound, if it's not the actual audio from the movie, it's some people doing some very good impressionations thereof.
Okay.
But it just doesn't quite work, because, you know, if you remember that scene, that was a very serious kind of, you know, we're doomed kind of scene. You know, everything was very down in the dumps, and, you know, the darkest moment before the dawn kind of thing. And so that audio is going on, and then kind of like right after they finish, you know, their speaking part, they try to insert some Telltale Lego humor, and it just doesn't work for me, you know. And I was kind of afraid of that when I heard they were going to add voices to the Lego people. You know, the thing that made the Lego Star Wars and the Lego Indiana Jones work was, if you were playing the game, you probably were pretty familiar with the movie and the characters, and so you knew what was going on in the scene, and
okay,
the sort of expressions and little grunts and head shakes kind of added the comedy to it, you know,
right?
And kept you in there. So I don't know, gameplay wise it was fine, graphics wise it looks just like a Lego game. But that whole having the Lego audio thing, it just didn't work for me.
Shame that, because it seemed to work in the Batman game.
Well, I haven't tried the second Batman game yet. I've only played the first one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, hey, there's a demo for it, so if you were interested in it, I mean, it's a free demo.
It is a free demo.
Can't hurt to try, right? Anything else on your end, Chris?
Well, I think I listed Skyrim, but we don't need to talk about Skyrim.
Okay. Let's just reiterate, Halo 4, possible game of the year.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Sauce.
Yeah. It is quite good and overshadows almost everything Richard Primrose is about to talk about, with the exception of one game on his list. It starts with an X, ends in a com, and beyond that, I'm not sure there's anything else to talk about, really. But, Rich, let's hear what you've been playing.
Yeah. I've had a good run this week. Played some games. I finished Dishonored.
Okay.
So my end summary of that was, personally, I went through that game like a bullet a gate. Stealth went out the window towards the end of the game. But I said the other week that I was basically powering up all of the stuff to do with your guns and stuff like that.
Right.
I heard Stu talking to Duke about it. Duke, take heart. If you do that, you can play this game like a shooter, because you can do things like fast reload and bump the amount of bullets that you can carry. So my tactics at the end basically were alert the bad guys and then just let them come streaming into a room and just play it like a shooter.
So now, Rich, I'm going to interrupt you real quick,
yeah.
and I don't know why this just jumped in my head, but I wanted to bring it up because it's one of those funny things that I've found very different about Halo 4 versus all the other shooters I've been playing recently. And that is, you know, a typical first-person shooter tactic is exactly what you just described. You know, you kind of get their attention, you lure them back into a corridor where they're not really going to be able to, you know, flank you at all. You know, they're going to funnel right into you, and you'll be able to take them out.
Yeah.
And in Halo 4, I don't think I've had that tactic work once successfully for me. Almost every time, they seem to hold back. They won't charge into any, you know, I can't bait them into a corridor. They lurk outside of it, and they wait for me to come out instead of charging in. And that's another part of the reason why it's proven to be much more difficult for my playthrough this time, just because the enemy AI seems to, they're not falling for my typical tactic.
The AI is better, but I've managed to bait them a few times. Not to get them to come charging after me, but at least to get them to come around the corner, you know, one or two at a time instead of all at once. But you do have to be more patient.
I think Halo, as a rule, has got quite a good reputation for the AI anyway, hasn't there?
They're
definitely above and beyond what the rest of the stuff that's out there. But sorry,
I totally derailed you. So continue on, my friend. Continue on. Let's hear about more this good week.
Yeah, so, basically, I plowed through it the last few levels, and probably shouldn't have done. But got to the conclusion of the game. Not going to spoil it or anything. It provided a very good summary of the game, and I liked the form that it took as well, the way that it was narrated and put over to you about what happened afterwards, and the way that it left it. Definitely room there for a sequel if they wanted to continue it. Also, as well, there was one thing that did disappoint a week. Disappoint a little bit with it was there's a mysterious character that basically pops up throughout the game, and I thought that his storyline might have been, they might have given you not a complete explanation, they could have left some of it hanging, but they didn't fill it out enough and give you enough of why he was there and where he'd come from and so on. So I would have liked to have seen a bit more of that. But that might have just been my playthrough. There might be different endings that do give you more of that. But overall, okay. Definitely up there for my... well, it's the one that's brought the most new stuff to the party for me this year. So, yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question. Would you be willing to play through it again?
I would have if I hadn't have gone and traded it in for another game, which I'll be coming to. But yeah, I think it's definitely something I'd think about picking up later on at a cheaper price, because there are plans for DLC as well. The single player stuff that they're going to put out, I don't think it's coming till first quarter of next year. So I had a shrewd move. I missed it because I'd left it too long doing my playthrough to get a really good trading price for it, but I got a decent amount to another game, but I'll come on to that in a minute.
Okay.
I also played Pool Nation, which is
Pool Nation
Xbox Live Arcade.
Right.
This is the pool simulator. Played the demo and thought, right, I'm picking this up. It's only 800 points, and I've never played pool games. I'm not like Mike. Mike likes his snooker and so on. But I really like the way this plays. It's got a really good UI. And you get a great camera control of the table. So it's all American games. So it's like 8-ball, 9-ball and stuff.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of rule picking up for us English guys that are used to playing pool in the pub. And... but overall, it's great. So it sets you up in like tournaments, and you've got to play through and beat certain players. And it also sets up challenges as well. So it won't unlock the next game until you've done a certain amount of challenges. And it keeps it. It gives it a little bit of an arcadey feel as well.
Are the challenges? I mean, do they ramp up in difficulty, or are they fairly simplistic?
Well, I'm early on at the moment. I've probably only been through two separate players, so the start off ones were like get a 2-pot streak type thing, get a 3-pot streak, and
okay,
you know.
Well, I always worry about games that pull that maneuver, because I mean, if you think about, you know, a game like Trials HD, if it did that, in order to unlock the next map, you had to master or at least finish certain maps. Some of those maps become really brutally tough, and I think that could be a bit of a turnoff if you were feeling like you couldn't get to the next map because it was so difficult early on.
Perhaps, but I don't think it's dependent on every single challenge getting done. I think they're just there to keep you interested as well.
Okay.
So you'll go back and play. You know, much like the Angry Birds, you'll go back because you want to get a 3-star
right.
rating. Well, these ones are, I'll go back because I want to do the challenge on this. Another great one that I enjoyed off the Xbox Live Arcade that was like that was the Burnout Crash, because that had a lot of replayability, because mm-hmm. you could go back and just try and wipe up the challenges that you'd had laid out for you. So I don't think the unlocking onto the next level is dependent on you doing everything in that. It's just... it will crack eventually, and yeah. But overall, it's very good. Graphically, it's really nice looking.
Okay.
And yeah, great. It's pool. All
right.
It's pool, but
it's pool.
It's good, and I haven't got another pool game, so I bought it.
Okay.
So Sunday, I was entertaining the kids, and all weekend, my young lad had been bugging me to play Monopoly. So gets to like the afternoon, and I asked him to go and get the board out. So we get the board out, and lo and behold, we've lost all of our community chest cards apart from one. So Xbox to the rescue. I said to him, right, let's get it on the Xbox, because then we don't have to pack it away and we can just sit down and play it. So we found it. We used the Kinect voice activation, found it straight away. And we bought what's called, because there's a couple on there, but we bought Monopoly Streets. So basically it's the board game, as we all know. Loads of different variations of the board game. You can buy different skins for it if you want. There's a Las Vegas skin and stuff like that.
Okay.
When you play it, it's got different modes as well, which we've not delved into because we just played the classic game. But it's also got speed modes as well if you want to have a quick game and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different options there for you to pick and choose from. I think if you...
Does it have... I realize it probably has couch... co-op or couch
it
play.
It does. You can have up to, I think it's up to four players, and you can link...
Does that...
Yes, sorry?
Sorry, Rich. Does that include multiplayer online?
Yes, it's got multiplayer online. Okay. Well, yeah, you can have that. The other thing as well, there was one thing that was a bit frustrating. We only had two controllers in the room. I've got four in the house, but we didn't want to go running around looking for them. You can't do a pass type scenario.
Okay. Everybody has to have their own controller.
Yeah, that's a bit of a shame. So what we did is we used two controllers and split into two teams. And you can fill up the slots as well with computer AI, set them to easy or hard or whatever. And yeah, so we started that off. And you can have it as a traditional board if you want, but it's also got a 3D board. So it builds characters and you've got a 3D world. And every time you build something or buy something, you get like full animations of what's going off, which okay. is really enjoyable, like funny stuff as well. For the kids, they enjoyed okay. it. And as far as the rules are concerned, there's stuff that either I've not been playing the rules right for the past 40 years, or it's just stuff... I know there's definitely things they've introduced just for this game. What they've done is, when you land on, a plot, you'll get the option to buy it, obviously, and you could decline it if you wanted, but you can also put it up for auction. And that brings in like a great little mini game, because what it is, if you put it up for auction, everybody then can start bidding, and you can push the price up really high if you want. If you know that somebody's got like two cards in that colour, you can ramp up that price if you want, just so that the other person who wants it has to pay through the teeth for it. But you can also not just raise it, you can lower it, so you can like go really, really high and push the other player up, and then bullshit back down again, and then, you know, basically force them into buying it for a stupid price. So that was a cool little add-on, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and we had a great laugh with it. And
okay,
it's definitely going to come in handy for Christmas. Yeah,
yeah. Monopoly is always a fun game, and I think I'm with you, Rich, in that more than likely we both have been playing it slightly wrong over all the years. I think everybody actually makes up their own rule sets at some point in time with Monopoly.
Not me.
And then, well, if you read that box, there's always stuff, you know, the instruction booklet, there's always little pieces in there that you're like, I didn't know it went that way.
Rule. We only play by the official Parker Brothers rules in my house. There will be nothing else.
But the other great thing is as well, they know that other people play different rules. And when you start that game, there is a full set of different rules that you can look at and choose from. So I think there's the one where, you know, all the money from the chance and the community chest pot goes into free parking.
Right.
I think you can select that one so that whenever you land on free parking, you get all of the fun.
Now, do they give them, like, funny names for the different rule sets, like the West Hampton rules, California rules, Chicago style?
Yeah, doggy style, yeah, all that sort of thing.
Gangnam style.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so we thoroughly enjoyed that. Really, really good.
Okay.
So I took a trip back to take Dishonored. I was stewing over getting Halo 4. But my mind was saying, if I get a shooter, I know I'm going to get another shooter, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. So I'm not going to probably play the Halo shooter.
Right.
As much as I would have wanted to. So maybe I should wait and try and get that on the price drop. So,
Rich, I would like to throw one thing out here real fast.
Yep.
I want to, you know what? I got to give you some praise here because you're actually being a thoughtful consumer. and in retrospect, on my buying practices this past holiday, or this holiday coming up, I guess I should say, I don't think I was exactly thoughtful about what I was buying. I got what I wanted, for sure, but I'm realizing exactly what you're talking about, which is I don't have time for all of these different games, and I would have been much better off just waiting a little bit for a few of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, so so I went in, and the intention was that I was going to trade it in and then just save the money for a week or so and then get Black Ops. So I went into the shop, and I thought, I'm going to have a look at the pre-owned section. And I knew what was hankering after me, because I'd been thinking about it for the past week or two. And I saw there were racks and racks. Well, there was probably at least five copies of XCOM used.
Yeah, you will dream about this game, Rich.
So I picked up XCOM. Yeah. I picked up XCOM and went home. And I've sank so many hours into this game. And, yes. And I've got to say, right, I'm gonna put a shout out to all the podcasts out there in the world that introduce people to new game types and everything. But most especially, I've got to shout out my two men who are on this podcast now, Mr. Greg DeLacy and Mr. Chris Matthew. Because Greg not only introduced me to Defense Grid, which is now one of my all-time favourites, but Chris, since I've known Chris, He's mumbled in the background about this classic old game, XCOM, and more recently, Greg's talked about how much he loved it and everything. And I've got to say, this is probably one of the best introductions to a game type, because it's great finding a new kind of game that you've never ever played in your whole life. It's not just the same old, and it's something completely different. And it's just sucked me in, and I love it. It's brilliant, absolutely fantastic, loving it. So, So as far as
thank you for that.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
Thank you as an order.
Yeah, yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chris Matthew. So got into it. I love the way that everybody's been talking about naming their squaddies after people they know, because I jumped straight into that, and I am absolutely loving that. As far as my success and so on's concerned in the different rounds, all I'm going to say is that my chin drops like a bastard. Repeatedly, that man dies over and over and over again. I have resurrected my chin so many times, it's unbelievable. And I don't know if it's me subconsciously thinking, fuck it, I'm just going to throw him up to the front or what. But somehow, some way, that guy always knows how to catch a bullet, or a plasma blast, should I say. As far as the gameplay and everything's concerned, the flexibility you get with all of these skill trees for the different classes,
right,
just makes the game so good. And I've found myself, I've a giant bomb did a massive talk through on their tactics and stuff the other week.
Yes.
And some of the stuff that I've found myself doing, I did take one thing from them. I do like using the snipers. Snipers, I do like. Once you get them ranked up and you're not relying on them just doing Overwatch from not doing a move, so you can make the move and then do Overwatch and various other things. I really find them valuable. I'm loving the support class as well. I am rolling with medipacks, so I do try and... I'm finding that some of my tactics are a bit gung-ho. I have got a beast of a heavy, and he's called Steve Conger. Steve Conger, the man from The Gamesman, is my main dude in this game. I love it. He's the one that traps me aliens for me. He's got a shotgun and he just runs into any fucking room and blasts toss out of everybody. And I love the little perk you get for run and gun, so you get effectively an extra move. I found that the smoke bombs are invaluable to me. I don't know if it's because I'm always leaving my guys out in the open, but if I know that I'm getting my guys up ready to have a concentrated attack on certain amount of dudes, because the classes of aliens as well, you've got to get your head around them as well. I'm not that far into it. I've only had probably 5 different variants of aliens introduced to me. But
okay.
Yeah, I love it.
I will say this. I think you will find your tactics will change a little bit as you get deeper into the game.
I've already...
It will kind of force you to change your tactics, especially as you get into the advanced levels. You'll start to realize there's certain do's and don'ts. I'm not going to try and spoil anything. I'll let you play it in its purity. Now, what are you playing it? You know, what kind of difficulty level are you playing it on? Are you just doing the classic?
I'm on normal.
It's on normal.
Yeah. At the minute, okay. I've not messed with anything. Just playing it as it comes. I got really frustrated though because I played it right and I went all the way up to. They take you through the tutorial for quite a while, don't they? And it extends after what would be the demo. It carries on probably for about another hour or so when they're introducing new things. And I'd gone probably 2 or so hours into the game. I had an awesome Christopher Matthew. Absolutely awesome Christopher Matthew. My Christopher Matthews are always rocking the big support machine guns. Because that's just
there
the
really isn't another kind of Christopher Matthew.
That's what I thought. I thought that's what Chris would be doing. He wouldn't be sitting at the back with a sniper rifle. He'd be there with a big ass gun, rocket launchers, and all that stuff. Yeah. So that's my Chris. I had a really meaty Christopher Matthew and a Greg DeLacy as well. Greg's sporting a grey flat top, incidentally.
A grey flat top. I appreciate that.
And his nickname is Grandpappy, or I've had to shorten it a bit. It's like Gramps or something like that. So he's like the old man time of the outfit. I went through it and I didn't realise you've got to manually save it, haven't you? You've got to set a save slot up.
You can set up autosave in the options, but I think by default it is off.
Yeah, exactly. So I went through 2 hours and I'd not even done a manual save, which was bad. So then I had to start from scratch again. And now that has taught me to do, basically, as soon as I land on a planet, I save.
Okay.
If I land in an assault, I save. But to be fair, I've not rewound that many times. It's only when I've had gut-wrenching moments where my Christopher went down again, and because I'd beasted him up at no end. Stuart Filer's also rocking the support, the big guns as well, which is a bit out of character for Stuart, I think. But hey, I'm happy to roll with that.
See, I envision Stu being more of the sniper class in the back saying, look at the graphics!
Exactly.
Just from a distance, scoping things out.
I tried him on a sniper class, and he went down first game, so I thought, no, he's not going to be... I'm not letting him hold a sniper rifle again. The sniper dude for me is All Praise to Me, who is a dude that... His name's Matt, and he used to play Call of Duty with us, and he was an awesome sniper, so... I've put him in, and he's doing the business. So I've got a two-man team of snipers. And then you also, as well, what you have to remember is, and I think you guys have pointed this out, is you've got to try and filter in squaddies as well.
Yes.
You've got like a B team, as it were.
So I was just going to say, Rich, your two-man sniper team, you're going to need more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think currently I've got a roster of about... I think there's probably about 18, and I've got 2 good 5-man teams. I've not unlocked all 6 yet, so that you can take 6 into battle. I've only got 5 at the minute. But
yeah, so here's a funny side note. And I think I played through with a roster of about 18 as well. You can get a roster of up to 99.
Yeah?
In what realm would you need 99 squaddies for this game?
I think that's,
I don't know.
That's kind of a throwback. So you remember in the original,
yeah,
you actually built multiple bases. So you could have, you know, you had your North America squad and your Europe squad and your Asia squad. I don't think you really need that many in this game. You can't keep that many of them. The game isn't long enough for that many of them to get.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
So the, yeah, anyway.
I mean, you know what, that could be them kind of putting that out there, and it's kind of a, like a, I don't want to call it a false, it's like a red herring. So, you know, you look out there and you're thinking, oh, I could spend money and get 99 squad mates. I'm going to need a lot of squaddies. But the reality is you don't need that many.
Well, the first thing I thought was that they were going to bring back, so in the original, your promotions, you could only get someone promoted to captain if you had at least 20 total soldiers. You could only get someone promoted to colonel if you had at least X number. You know, you had to have so many total soldiers to get the promotions. So I didn't know if they were going to tie it to that. But they clearly didn't, because by the end of the game, my whole A team were all colonels. So.
Actually, here's a question. In classic mode, is that the case?
I don't know. I haven't left.
That could be. Yeah, that could be. That might make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So tips time. I'm going to ask a few questions and you guys can advise. I find it hard to get uplinks and satellites started to keep panic levels down. Is that important, or can I just roll?
No, it is immensely important.
Try to do, try to get a couple satellites a month.
Yeah.
Well, I can't seem to get the money in to fund it. I've just put my first satellite up.
Here's the thing you got to do. You have to look carefully at the gray market.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that you can sell off. You know, some of the alien corpses are useful for building things, so make sure you hang on to a few of those.
Yeah, that threw me off at first. I didn't realize that was the case.
But some of them are not, so you can just go ahead and ditch those. If you're playing on normal difficulty, don't spend too much money updating your interceptors, because you don't need them that much.
All I've done with them is I've basically put one interceptor in each territory. You know, it's got the different...
Right.
And then I've not upgraded them or anything.
You'll eventually need to do some upgrades there, but that'll come later on in the game. You won't need that early on. A helpful tip, which Chris was just talking about, is the gray markets. This is kind of like the black market where you can sell alien tech that you've recovered. As you scroll through it, as you get to the bottom, especially on the UFO crash missions, a lot of times you're going to collect stuff that's basically been damaged.
Computers.
Anything that's damaged, you can sell.
Yeah.
It'll tell you. It'll have like a green like parenthesis say, this is useless to us now type thing. So just sell it. That'll give you extra cash. And then on the interceptor side, and this is something I didn't realize you could do in this game. For whatever reason, it just didn't present itself to me in a way that I thought you could do it. But in the original XCOM game, you could send multiple interceptors after a UFO. And I didn't realize that they allowed you to do that as well in this game. For whatever reason, the way it presents it, it almost looks like you can just send one interceptor at a time.
Yeah.
But you can send multiple interceptors after the same UFO. And that could come into play as you go further into the game and the UFOs become a little more difficult to take down. You may have to send multiple interceptors out. It's really going to depend on how leveled up your interceptors are. What kind of tech you have in them. I didn't waste too much time on the little aim assist stuff and the tracking. I have kind of steered clear of that, so I haven't spent a lot of money on that.
I've got another question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding it difficult to know, you know, when you're doing the scan, so it's zooming forward in time and then it throws up a mission and you get to decline and stuff like that. How do I know the difference? Because what I'm trying to do is hang back and level up people on normal bog-standard abduction missions or whatever. How do I know if it's a mission that's pushing forward the main story? Is it just when that guy comes in the shadows and starts talking to you? Or could it be loads of different things?
No, there'll be some events that will happen that you'll know the story is kind of advancing a little bit, and that is going to happen based off of your advancement to a small extent, and also just time spent in the game.
Yeah.
At some point, it will kind of it'll trip a trigger, and something will happen, and you'll know it'll be something that you haven't seen before, or something that you've never done before. It'll come up and be a big deal. I will say this. I wouldn't avoid too many missions. I tried to take every mission that came to me. And when it comes to when they give you, like, they have, like, three different missions
to
choose from.
I don't think that was the question, Greg. I think the question was, how do you know which ones are the main story missions? And I think you already covered that, right? There's only, like, four main story missions.
Right.
But if you're trying to rank people up, the one mission you don't want to take your rookie soldiers on is the terror mission. You gotta, because in the terror mission, you gotta move quickly.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I've had one frustrating point. I had a certain battle, and one plus thing. Whenever you restart a battle, I love the fact that it regenerates the aliens in different positions and stuff, and that I think is great because it don't mean you can't really cheat the system.
Right.
So I don't feel like I'm cheating as well, which is good. I've had one when I went into a mission that was a bit frustrating, where because it had elevated positions with the dudes that can fly, and them insectoid, the ones that are like little creepy spider type things.
Right. Yeah. The chrysalids.
Yeah, they were like the two things that were in it, right? They wiped me out and I started the mission again, and it was the same map, and they came on in different positions. But there was like elevated ramps, right?
Right.
And I can understand how you'd get misses if you were, say, at a certain distance and you're firing up, yeah? But I'd got myself up to the top level, and I had dudes around. There was two guys of my guys that I'd put in position. I knew they had like an extra shot. And they were point blank, and I had like 89% chance of hitting. And every time they shot, both of these soldiers took a shot, and they missed both times, and I got wiped out. Is that a glitch in this elevator?
No.
That's called the randomization of war.
Jesus. What blank?
The random number generator that drives all that. Sometimes we'll get locked in it'll get stuck in the low numbers for a while, and you'll miss. I had a sniper miss 395% shots in a row.
Ouch. Jeez. Yeah, I haven't had anything like that happen yet, thankfully.
And when you play on the classic difficulty, I think the random number generator actually is biased against you because I need to start taking like tracking statistics and see if my theory is true. Because I think there's some truth to this, but I have to track it myself. Well, I think they just, like, not only did the percentages get lower, but I think they actually skew the random number generator a little bit lower in that as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
But overall, I'm loving it, and I love as well how it opens out later on, and you've got things like suppression and taking shots that basically will force who you're shooting at to move position, and if you set it up right, so you've got Overwatch set up on the load of players, and then my Steve Conger, running gun dude, will go in, set one of them shots up, and then that will just basically bounce that one player into the firing line of like three others, and it's really satisfying.
Right.
I love it. Great. Brilliant game.
Well, we are glad you are enjoying it. Another person converted. Good job, Chris.
Yeah. I do have to say, I've been meaning to say this for a couple of weeks, and I keep forgetting. So while we're on the subject of XCOM, there's one negative to it that I have found, and that is there's not enough difference when you replay it.
Right.
Like you can pick your base in a different location, but the way the game is kind of set up, it's not like playing Civilization where what nation you choose will kind of dictate how you play the game a little bit more based on their, you know, advantages.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that doesn't detract from the first time you play through it. It does detract a little bit from the second or third or fourth. And I think that's going to limit how long this game stays popular.
You know, it'll be interesting to see, I know they have already talked about what they're introducing for DLC, and I'm drawing a blank as to what that is.
It's three new council missions, and those three council missions kind of tie together into a story arc with a unique character involved, and that's okay.
I'm wondering if they're going to be introducing new weapons, or I think they said they were introducing a new class of soldier.
Yeah.
So that could help. I honestly don't know. And I agree with what you're saying, Chris. So I'm hoping
maybe
they're going to do something.
Could change it up a little more. New research options, new skills.
There's definitely a new class of character coming, because I heard them talking about it. It was some sort of ninja stealthy type character. I heard that on the podcast. I can't remember which one it was. Yeah.
All right. So XCOM, good game.
Yes. Yeah. And to wrap it up, today I went out and got myself the Blobs 2.
You picked up the Blobs 2. Was this, were you passing by a urinal and you touched it and you got it? Or is it from a...
See a doctor about that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I picked it up this afternoon. Had a ridiculously fast round before I had to go and do the school run, and I've been playing it tonight. So basically, I've just touched on the multiplayer.
Okay.
Playing that, went straight into that, and also I've done some zombies, which I won't mind talking a little bit about.
I'm curious to hear them both, because I've heard good things on the multiplayer side.
Mm-hmm.
Zombies, I heard, was a little disappointing to some. So.
Hmm.
Yeah, I want to hear your take, so go for it.
Okay, so multiplayer. I've played probably about 7 or 8 of the maps, some of them repeatedly, 2 or 3 times. Loving the maps, definitely. I've always said that I like Treyarch's map design, and it was controversially at the time when COD 4 was out as well, that I still like the map design by Treyarch better. They do some really good, nice square maps, village-type settings and so on, which is nothing new to COD. One thing I always think that Treyarch always get right is giving verticality to the maps as well. They're always quite cute in how they arrange that, so it doesn't become a sniper fest, but you can shoot from elevated positions if you want to. They've also done something that I always wanted them to do with the wet work map on COD 4. Because I can remember Infinity War came out once and said, what would you like us to do for the map packs? And you can talk about existing maps if you want. The one thing I would have loved them to do with wet work was open up the underside of the ship so that you could go down and wander through that. Ideally, in the dark, so you had to use your night vision goggles, but nobody did that anyway. But this one, they've got an awesome map with basically a luxury yacht type setup. So it's
okay.
Very narrow. There was one similar to it, I think, in Ghost Recon, what me and you played on a fair bit.
Right.
Yeah. So this one, you've got like the layers under the boat as well. It's got nice run lines down the decks and so on, and you can get into the cabins and so on. And then it's also got shortcut routes down the side of the boat with steps and so on. Found that to be an awesome map. Also played a map called Turbine, which I think set in Pakistan. There's quite a few maps set in Pakistan, Yemen as well. So there's a really good mix of maps that I've seen so far, and it's not just desert settings, which I found quite a relief. Panama was a good setting as well. I had a few good games in that. Guns, I know we're going into the science fiction side of things now, but they've done a really good job of designing these guns. There's some awesome guns in it, and they've completely changed the sound of the guns as well. Meat air, very, very good. Feel nice and weighty as well when you're running with them. Done some funky things with sights and so on. And there's now sights that basically resemble what would happen if you had a Predator missile coming in. So you've got a scope that basically, when you bring it up, it's not only like a ACOG type scope, it's also got the red finders. So if there's a target in view, it makes them crystal clear that they're there because you've got like a red square around them, which is quite a nice little addition. They've done some good stuff with the perk system as well. For me, there's a lot of things that I never find myself using when I'm in a round. Go down quite quick. I never normally find that I use my pistol. And a lot of the time I wouldn't use a launcher unless I'm playing a team-based game, you know, and you've got to bring down a chopper or something. So what they've done is they've basically introduced things called wild cards. So you unlock these wild cards, and basically the first one that I've had is called greed. So what you can do with this greed is pick an extra first perk in your perk tree. So not only can you have, like I've got lightweight, because I always like running and gunning, so I've got lightweight unlocked. If you put the greed perk on as well, you can pick a second first perk. So I can also have hardline on as well at the same time. So I'll get my kill streaks coming quicker. But if you overload that, say you put on two perks, it will say that you've got too much equipment. So you could sacrifice, say, your pistol or your launcher or your smoke grenade, something that you don't find that you normally use. You can put extra attachments on your guns and stuff like that as well. So you could have two attachments on your guns and then take out, say, your pistol. So it's making it, even though it was really flexible anyway, it's gone even more so now. So, yeah, definitely seems to be. I mean, I've not got too deep into it because I'm just starting to rank up guns.
Sure, sure.
But overall, at the minute, first impressions are it's a really solid multiplayer. So, yeah, very good.
So, question for you. I mean, visually speaking, compared to Modern Warfare 3, I know they said they improved on the engine. Is it noticeable improvement to you, or is it just a slight improvement?
Graphically, no. I wouldn't say there's any difference in what I've seen in Black Ops or Modern Warfare 3. Just a bit more, probably a bit more imagination with the maps. Lots of random things lying around that can be knocked off, you know, and sent flying when things explode and so on. A lot more things that can break. But other than that, the graphical style of it is more or less the same. I just think a lot of it's to do with speed, and I'm not saying it feels faster, but it just feels solid. All the hit detection's still there, and it's really good. If you're a COD fan, there's nothing to moan about. And like I say, the key thing for anybody, I think, when they're playing the multiplayer is the map design, and the map design's solid. Everything that I've seen so far. I mean, you do get that. Whether I'll be saying the same thing two weeks from there, after you've got the maps poured into your brain, maybe not. But at the moment, I'm liking the mix of the maps in it, and that's a good thing. I've not had anything like a shipment or a. They always normally put us.
Yeah, I'm sure.
One on that's either irritating or a great laugh when you're with a bunch of friends. But I've not found one of them yet. But yeah, they've built in this theatre and the COD TV thing. COD TV thing looks solid because you know how you can record your games. Anybody that posts it's on your friends list, basically there's a library there. So you can just go in and pick and choose. Say Gate had a game on and it got recorded. Then you could go in because it would be named as a Gate game for somebody off your friends list. And you can go and watch that game back, which seems fairly cool. And I'm looking forward to see what the community do with that broadcasting thing.
Yeah, that's I think, one of the things that really intrigues me about Blops 2 is the broadcasting, or game casting, I guess.
Yep.
And
they've done a bit of robbing off Halo 4 as well.
Okay.
League play, that's been brought in. This looks almost identical to what Halo's got. You know, where you have the monthly leagues, where you go. Well, I know they had it in Reach anyway. I'm not sure about 4, but basically, at the minute they're running a trial season. So basically, you jump into them. playlist. It's a mosh pit at the minute, so you'll get random different rounds. And yeah, and they're doing a trial on that until December the 1st, so then I think they'll kick in properly. So yeah, that looks good. Overall, they've still got all, they've got party games, which is all of the gun games, One in the Chamber, Sticks and Stones, all that sort of thing. Added that. The core listing now is massive. So if you go into the core, I've got it on there, so that's a little, final match in core. So you have your team deathmatch, your multi, they've got multi-team now. This is what?
Right. Multi-team. It's like 4-on-4.
Yeah.
Four teams against one another.
Yeah. A little bit of Robin there off Battlefield, I think. Kill confirmed and all that lot. Capture the flag, search and destroy, ground war, demolition. They're all there, so you've got everything you wanted. A little bit thin on the ground with the hardcore, but that was the same with most of the others. What they normally
do
with hardcore is the wheeling.
It'll open up.
That opens up later on. So yeah, all of that's it, and overall very solid. And I went on and did some zombies.
Zombies.
Yeah, zombies is a. They've basically been robbing off Left 4 Dead. Somebody's been.
Yeah, it looked a little. It looked a lot Left 4 Dead, I must say.
Yeah, excuse me. Somebody's been watching The Walking Dead whilst playing a Valve game and come up with the new zombies. It is interesting to me because I don't know how far this is going to expand out, but you start off and you've got like a choice of, say, three areas. It all looks like America during the 60s or 70s. There's a nice stylization to the loading screens and so on. So you've got a transit mode, which is basically it's saying it's gonna you're gonna unlock secrets and tell the story of whatever. So you start that off, and you will be in one area where you hold up, like you normally would be in an average zombie game. But you can break out the building, and the first thing I came across was a bus. So basically, you can get on this bus, and then it will then transport you, and whilst you're being transported, there are zombies chasing you and trying to get on the bus, and you've got to fend them off. And then you come to another area, the second area had a diner and so on, and you've got to hold up. Well, I went on with three randoms. Two of these guys were playing split screen.
Okay.
What we decided was, and I never knew you could do this anyway, whilst we got to the diner and we played about six rounds, they decided to get back on the bus and bugger off.
So they were in a different area?
Yeah.
It's kind of open world, but not necessarily open world, but you can go to different spots?
Yeah, I think you can go around as and when. And there was also, I think it's like there's a mist that falls around the perimeter, and there's no boundaries. But if you go into that mist and you've not cleared the area or been allowed to go any further, then I was finding there was these little zombie mite type things, like gremlins, running around. And they can like jump on you and start.
Wait, little zombie chins?
Zombie gremlin-y, chinny type things, yeah. Running around, jumping on your shoulders and scratching your face off and stuff. So, yeah.
So pretty much don't go in the fog.
Don't go in the fog, no.
Like any good horror movie, don't go in the fog.
Yeah.
No, it sounds excellent.
Yeah.
I'm going to curtail it at the moment because we've gone on a long time.
I'm done.
I knew you were wrapping up. I also would like to point out, anybody who is playing the Richard Primrose counting and drinking game, you probably are right about now under the table, hammered, drunk.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize, Rich. We love you, and I loved the input. It was awesome. So Blobs 2 looks like it is delivering. I'm so happy to hear you are loving XCOM. That warms my heart. And, yeah, Halo 4, I fear we haven't done Halo 4 enough justice, but I don't want to keep droning on and on about it, but it is a fantastic game. And if you own an Xbox, you should be buying Halo 4 at some point in time this year.
Have you found many people in the community to play multiplayer with? Is it?
Yeah. In fact, I was just playing earlier today with Knife Party. I've seen people on there at least six, seven people at any point in time constantly playing Halo 4. A lot of people still playing the campaign. I will say the Spartan Ops was a little disappointing in how it presents itself. And I don't know, I guess I was kind of expecting it to be just kind of like the way the campaign rolls in, where you have these cutscenes and it leads right into a mission and then you go back into a cutscene. It's more like it pulls up a menu. You have five maps to choose from for the Spartan Ops for this week. And then there's a cutscene that you can play, or a video that, or, you know, movie for the five scenes. And the movie ties everything together, kind of sets up why you're doing these missions. I did find the quality of that movie to be, I mean, the animation was really good, but for whatever reason, the screen resolution when it played on my TV was really bad. So I'll be curious to know when you, Mr. Matthew, get into some Spartan Ops, if you haven't already, what you thought of the quality on the Spartan Ops videos versus, the regular game, the cutscenes are fantastic. I mean, they are breathtaking. Spartan Ops I found to be really, it was kind of off-putting, to be perfectly honest. The mission itself, the one mission I played, was, you know, fine enough, not terribly long. Certainly not challenging, given it was a normal mode mission. But, I was kind of hoping to see some better visuals out of that the video for it. So,
I'll have to let you know when I have a chance to check it out.
Okay. All right. So that is done for new release. For what we've been playing. We should talk about some new releases. All right, so new releases. I'm going to run through it as fast as I can to get us back on track. On the Wii and Wii U, really it's just the Wii U, and there's a lot coming out this week because they are prepping for the launch of the Wii U at the end of this week. So right now, on retail shelves, you've got Assassin's Creed 3, Ben 10 Omniverse, ESPN Sports Connection, FIFA Soccer 13, Game Party Champions, The Hip Hop Experience, Just Dance 4, Lego Lord of the Rings, Madden NFL 13, Mass Effect 3, Monster High, Skulltimate Roller Maze, I didn't make that up, that's actually just for the Wii, by the way, Rabbitlands, Scribblenauts Unlimited, Victorious, Taking the Lead, and Your Shape Fitness Evolved 2013. 3DS. On the retail shelves for 3DS, you've got Ben 10 Omniverse, Monster High, Skulltimate Roller Maze, Rabbids Rumble, Scribblenauts Unlimited, and Victorious Taking the Lead. Moving over to the PS3 this week, you've got Assassin's Creed Ezio's Trilogy, Ben 10 Omniverse, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, F1 Race Stars, which I believe is like a kart racing game with F1 racing. So it could be interesting to check out. Lego Lord of the Rings, Wonder Book of Spells. Yes, the Wonder Book of Spells is finally upon us. God help us. Moving over to the PSN this week, Planets Under Attack is available on the PSN. I'm not sure what that is, but check it out. I believe it's going to have a free demo. Tekken Tag Tournament 2. Wicked Monster Blast HD and SingStar Digital, all available on PSN. Demos, F1 Race Stars, Need for Speed Most Wanted, Planets Under Attack, and Ragnarok Odyssey, all available. PS Vita this week, Call of Duty Black Ops 2 Declassified. It's the only game available for the Vita, but it's kind of one of the reasons why everybody wanted a Vita. You wanted to play your Black Ops on the run, so there you go. Xbox 360 this week on the retail shelves, Ben 10 Omniverse, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, F1 Race Stars, The Hip Hop Experience, Lego The Lord of the Rings, and Tropico 4 Gold Edition out on retail shelves. Xbox Live Arcade this week shows Planets Under Attack, and of course you get demos for Need for Speed Most Wanted and Planets Under Attack. And keep an eye out for Deals of the Week this week in particular. Xbox Live turns 10 years. It's been up and running this week, and so I know Microsoft is planning on doing some special things for that. So keep an eye out on the deals of the week. I'm sure there are going to be a ton of ad hoc specials going on throughout the week. Over on the PC side, just to, for those that are the PC gamers, you've got Call of Duty Black Ops 2, F1 Race Stars, Lego The Lord of the Rings, Magical Drop 5, Rift Storm Legion, The Sims 3 Seasons, Thomas Was Alone, and last but not least, Tropico 4 Gold Edition. And that does it for the new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so before we delve too far into the news quiz, a couple breaking pieces of news that I didn't have time to write news quiz questions for, but I thought they were kind of important to talk about. So first up is the Zynga CFO quit, and he is taking a job as a senior finance job, I should say, at Facebook. So a lot has been going on over at Zynga. I think their future is very much kind of in doubt and changing as we speak. You know, that whole kind of social casual gaming platform, I think, I don't know, Rich, I would say this is, not necessarily shocking news, but I mean, they're still kind of finding their place. In some ways, this kind of feels like back in the dot-com days when dot-com first came around, everybody jumped on board, everybody was making a website, and, you know, everybody, you know, was like, oh, the future is the internet, and yes, it was, but in certain areas, not everything, and in some respects, I think Zynga is kind of a product of that kind of same thing. You know, they jumped into the social gaming and free-to-play, and they were like, ah, oh, we can make, you know, gazillions doing this, and then the realities were that, you know, it may not be as lucrative a thing as they hoped.
Yeah.
So, I know they're losing tons of money right now, so...
Yeah, you think that... I don't know. I think Zynga should take it back, not to the roots so much, but start... If they want to start working as a whole, why can't they get into mobile gaming and bringing out exclusive stuff that's not necessarily going to be on a social network?
Yeah.
Start bringing in the books with that a bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the Zynga watch continues. Let's just put it that way. The other little quick piece of news before we get into the news quiz proper, UK magazines Xbox World and PSM3 are ceasing publication in December. So both magazines shutting down, and this comes on the heels of Future US, which is a magazine publisher, shutting down Nintendo Power and PlayStation, the official magazine. Both those are planned to have their final issues this holiday as well.
Which ones are going down? Tell me that again.
Xbox World, sorry.
Yeah.
And PSM 3.
Okay. Don't affect me. Why? I'm just thinking of work.
Rich, this is kind of why I put this piece of news, because I know it does kind of fit in your realm of the world. Print is... It's in a tough spot right now with the internet growing, and especially news growing on the internet. I think magazines are really having a much more difficult time finding their place in the world, so to speak, because so much of what they used to report is now being covered by internet sites.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll only ever pick one up when I'm going on holiday or something.
Yeah, I subscribe to the official Xbox magazine just because they have a digital version that I just can download to my tablet. I always liked that publication in the past. I didn't like collecting the magazines, so when I found out they had a digital version for basically $2 an issue, I was like, yeah, I'll sign up for that. I'm good with that. But yeah, so there you have it. Those are the two newest pieces of news, but we do have news quiz stuff, so let's dive into that. Mr. Matthew, I know you are sitting quietly waiting for your first question, so I'm going to give it to you right now.
Really excited about it.
Yes, and this question you are going to be just gaga crazy for. Mr. Matthew, what Kinect game is getting a piece of its DLC broken out as a separate Windows 8 game? Is it Gunstringer, Kinect Star Wars, or Rise of the Nightmares?
Mm-hmm. Gunstringer, Star Wars, or Rise of the Nightmare?
Yes.
I'm going to just go, let's see, let's go with Gunstringer.
That is a phenomenal guess, Chris. Good job. Or educated guess. Who knows?
No, it was a swag. It was a scientific wild-ass guess.
It was you basically held up fingers and you're like, "Oh, look, I've got my first finger up. That must be Gunstringer."
Yep.
Yeah. The Wavy Tube Man Chronicles, the bizarre full-motion video episode originally released as download content for the Gunstringer, basically is being uncoupled. And it's going to be a standalone release for Windows 8 PC and tablets. I don't know. Go figure. But it'll have a price of $1.49. And you'll be able to get it soon enough, I guess. So there you go. If you're itching to play Gunstringer DLC, I guess.
I'm really fired up about it.
Yeah, you should be. Rich! What big change is in store for Mass Effect per BioWare EA? Is it they're going to start using Frostbite 2 engine? Is it the next game will be a digital download game? Or is the next game a planned MMORPG?
What was the first one again?
Using the Frostbite 2 engine.
They got their horses bitten too badly with the MMO thing. I'm going to go for the second one.
You should have thought Frostbite 2, because every EA game
now
is using Frostbite 2. Yeah. So they basically said that they're looking to transition over to the new Frostbite 2 engine, and said to ensure proper and effective transition will continue to be supported by the Edmonton studio through the game's development, working with and learning from them on some of the critical initiatives. But he did confirm that it will be powered by Frostbite, which previously had been powered by Unreal. I guess it's not shocking. It makes sense. This is an EA engine, and it's a good engine when done right. So I'll be curious to see what they do with that next Mass Effect game. I don't know if I want another Mass Effect game, though. I have to admit that. I'm kind of a little soured on it, so I don't know. We'll see. All right, Mr. Matthew, how much did Halo 4 sell in its first 24 hours? Was it A, $175 million in revenue, B, $204 million in revenue, or C, $220 million in revenue?
I'm feeling optimistic. 220.
Yeah, no. Halo 4 cranked out 220 million globally during its first 24 hours on sale. Microsoft expected it to hit 300 million by the first week's end. So it is a huge, huge game. And being a first-party exclusive, it makes it even all that much more remarkable, if you ask me. But that does, of course, include not just the games itself, but the limited editions and the map packs that were, I believe, $25. So,
map packs.
Or the map pack passes, the passes, I should say. All right, so let's transition back over to Mr. Primrose.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, according to Sony's VP Fergal Guerra, I think I'm saying that right, what is the deciding factor on when the next PlayStation will come? Is it A, consumers, B, Sony Tokyo's 10-year plan, or C, the competitive market landscape?
Competitive market landscape sounds like corporate speak to me, so I'm going with that.
Well, Rich, according to Sony, it's all about the consumer. Yeah, in an interview he said that the consumer will decide when a new console is needed. He says, we don't take the view that it's over for our current generation. He says, that's not the shape of our business. We're continuing to innovate with the PS3, making it smaller, lighter, and offering better value entry point consoles. there's been a big engineering push in Tokyo to give it a facelift and a spec revitalization too. So that's good to see. We've taken a longer view of the life cycles than some of the competition. That, to me, sounds like PlayStation 4 is a good couple years away from coming.
Well, dev kits are going out, aren't they? Because we've already said that. Well,
yeah,
that's already out there as far as news is concerned.
Well, and they got to hedge their bets a little bit. They don't want people to stop buying PS3s and PS3 games and PS3 accessories, right? So they have to, no, we're going to keep supporting it. Yeah.
Well, speaking of support, Chris, you remember the day back in the day Silicon Knights was making games using the Unreal Engine, and then they had that big dispute. Silicon Knights took Epic to court, suing them. Epic countersued them. The end of it all, Epic won in the court battle, and Silicon Knights was basically left with nothing to hold their, you know, to hold anything other than their failure to make Too Human a good game.
That was a very long story, Greg. Is there a question attached?
There's a question attached. So the courts have now actually handed down some of the ruling as far as what the reparations are going to be for the court case. What, as a consequence of them losing their case with Epic, what is Silicon Knights being ordered to do? Is it A, recall and destroy all unsold copies of Unreal 3 Engine games, B, turn over all work product of their current Unreal 3 Engine game, or C, hand over all IP rights for the past Unreal 3 Engine games?
I think it's they're going to have to destroy the old games and the code. Was that one of the choices?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is correct. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. They should have like a bonfire. Here you go, bitches.
Yeah, they're being ordered by the U.S. court to recall and destroy all unsold copies of games using Unreal 3 Engine. This includes Too Human and X-Men Destiny. So I'll throw this out there. If you have a copy of those games in your possession, could potentially be a collector's item down the road. That might be one, you know, worth hanging on to. I don't know. Maybe not.
No.
Yeah, probably not. But okay, that does it for the news quiz. It was a short one this week. Not a whole heck of a lot happening. It's all about Blops 2 and Halo 4 this week, so there you have it. Okay, so right about now we're going to do our show break. We're not going to take a real break, though, because we're going to power through, but you are going to get to listen to a song right about now that I thought it's pretty relevant this week. Let's just put it that way. Enjoy.
Halo 4 and Black Ops 2? But I only have $60. That means I can only get one. Started out playing Halo, switched to COD. Loved how it felt calling in kill streaks. But back in my mind, I always thought of the Chief. And how Halo blew up in the MLG. Yeah, now I sit here mid-November, new games release. And I can't remember the last time I was so excited. But I'm not sure which one I will be buying. Black Ops was fun, so was Halo 3. But which one should I purchase? Should I go with Halo or go for COD? Halo 4 looks awesome from all that I have seen. But Treyarch makes a great game and Black Ops 2 will shine. I have $60, which one should I buy? Which one should I buy?
Halo fans say COD's for noobs. They spend all game camping, shooting noob tubes. COD fans say Halo play is a map because our game is fun and their game is bad. Now, to be honest, Halo takes more skill, but Call of Duty's fast pace means more kills. I'm not trying to start a game war, just chill. I really want both games, but I don't have enough bills.
Black Ops was fun, so was Halo 3. But which one should I purchase? Should I go with Halo or go for COD? Halo 4 looks awesome from all that I have seen. But Treyarch makes a great game and Black Ops 2 will shine. I have $60, which one should I buy?
Which one should I buy? I miss the VR. I miss playing Halo. Reach really sucked, Bungie really screwed it up. But COD's fun. I love all the awesome guns. I just need help picking out which one. Go for COD. Halo 4 looks awesome from all that I have seen. But Treyarch makes a great game, and Black Ops 2 will shine. I have $60. Which one should I buy? Should I go with Halo? Go for COD. Halo 4 looks awesome from all that I have seen. But Treyarch makes a great game, and Black Ops 2 will shine. I have $60. Which one should I buy? Which one should I buy?
Alright, so it's mailbag time, and this week's question, it is all Rich's, I mean, it's Rich's question. And really, Rich, this is more of a community question, right? I think that's the best way to put this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know it had been posed to you and thrown out there as a potential idea of a supplemental Minecraft podcast, something that would be potentially participated on or by the community. So different folks in the Minecraft community would take part in it. And it's something that we certainly would be willing to, you know, help them get started, throw it up into our feed, maybe a biweekly podcast, something like that. Honestly, we don't know. It was really just a question to gauge interest. And I know on the Twitters it seemed a little mixed, but I did see some of the gate responses, and it seems like there's some positive feedback for it. So, Rich, why don't you guide us down that road right now?
Okay, yeah. So the forums, Marcanics first up, he said, time permitting, I would be up for this. And he said, I have sent an email in after getting called back out last week. Lol. So I have gone into it a bit more there. So, preferably that's coming at the end of this program. David the Alien voted yes, merely on the guidelines that I would like to listen. No way I have time to participate in something like this. He's too busy watching football. Filthy, it's a yes from me. Thought about doing it myself a few months ago, but don't have enough time to do my own VP show at the moment. And then we've got Blue Baru, the initiator of this discussion. Yes, definitely up for it and getting involved. Happy to help and coordinate in any way that I can. Then we had SLH. She said, yes to both. Listen and participate if needed. There you go. We have a lady in the house. Do ladies say as much as the boys? Or is that just me? Yeah, and started that with an And then PGTip77, he came in and said, I listen to the veteran gamers talk about roller skates every week, so I can't see this being a problem. Great stuff.
I love that response. That was pretty funny.
Good call. Yeah, and then on to the Twitters. Twitters basically started out with a little bit of feedback about the sound quality of last week's show.
Yes.
So I'll just read them out as well.
You mean everyone talking a little bit slower?
Yes.
A little bit more bass in their voice?
That's right.
We do not know what you are talking about.
So
excitedly, we're sorry. With hopeful trepidation, it won't happen again.
It is scary how much you sound just like the Elcor.
It's my talent.
Go ahead, Rich.
Very good. Yeah, so first we had a Denver J. I believe, is that Jay's machine on the Xbox Live?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So it's our Borderlands 2 co-op man. Yeah, he put, I think your latest podcast was a little slow. Everyone is speaking at half speed. And then Bowsy put in, what the fuck? happened to Chinny's voice at 20 minutes mark? Did his balls drop mid-podcast? Welcome to manhood, my friend. and Bowsy put, after that, ha ha, at 20 minutes. Love it. Okay, this is Jay's machine again. I'll blame him, at Chinny 1985 dude. Why you gotta slow the show? Slame, shameful. Bloody hell. Can't get my words out. And then I cut in. I bet I sound the same anyway. Then we had Gate coming in saying, what happened to the community spotlight? Does anybody know what happened to the community spotlight?
Sure. Mike Chin's fault.
That's great, isn't it? He's not here. We can blame him for everything. And then Gate came back very nicely saying, lol, that's cool. Halo 4 distracted everyone this week. Damn, Master Chief. Phil Olsen then cut in, you just can't get the staff these days. And Gate.com came in with, amen, dude. Gate.com Twitter guy stinks. Wait, what? And then John Mar5, Jonathan Wilson, I've always have patience for you guys because I love you all. That's great. And Bowser came in again. The female listeners will protest if you change it. Chef doing chocolate salty balls for next week. And then just Bowser again. Can I get you guys to give a shout out to anybody who's playing Rocksmith to check out the music forum and get involved with the challenges? So there's a new forum up there. Anybody who's using Rocksmith, get on it. And then Gary...
Wait.
What?
No, Bowsy, we will not give you that shout-out.
Oh,
wait, we just did. Never mind.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was cheesy. My bad.
Yeah.
Continue on.
Gary Lever, he chipped in from last week because we was arguing over who put the Minecraft link in to what we should be playing during the break. And he said the Minecraft-style link was from me. Lol. And then we had... another retweet.
Yeah, there's a couple. I know there's at least one or two responses to...
oh, yeah, this is basically Gangu Crimes. This is the guy, I believe, if I remember rightly, who did the theme tune to the Veteran Gamers podcast.
Yes.
He's asking, basically, if there's anybody that'd like to start a podcast up in a similar format to the OC podcast, but based around music. Because he's looking for some presenters. So anybody out there that likes music and games, get in touch with him. That's at Gangu Crimes. G-A-N-G-U Crimes. And then he said, cheers, AC, because we retweeted that. Hey, guys, what was the song used at the end of last week's show? It was good. I think Mike only knows the answer to that question, but I'm guessing it's from Halo. It sounded a bit Halo-ish.
Yeah. I believe it was Halo 4 music.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Halo 4.
Yeah. And then we had, this is Maverick F20 in response to, at last, the Halo, the Minecraft forum question. Yeah, he said, weekly? Oh, yeah. So he's up for it. And Mike Vasey, I don't even understand the question. Lol. Right, okay. Gangu Crimes, I think Minecraft... podcast will be funny. I'd like hearing about at Chinny's neighbours from hell. Well, that was in that other world, and if I remember rightly, I was one of his neighbours.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Come the end of the year podcast, because Mike's not here, I have a little confession to make about Minecraft.
Were you doing dirty things in the corner?
No, well, we'll find out later. See, Mike listens to this and grills me about it next week. then Mike Vasey cut in again. Oh, I see. Not really. No, he doesn't want one. Did you see I build up suspense there? Lol. Actually, thinking about it, I'd listen to a podcast about Minecraft anyway, even though I don't play it. So why not? So he changed his mind. Bongo the same, just cut in with a simple no. And I wonder why that is, because he plays that. Well, he did play it when it first came out. And then we had Mr. Killer Cranky, who put in, thanks for the shout-out, Rich. OC Podcast. Not sure if the question made it to the forums yet. I'll put one in the MC for it. So I guess That's why it never got on the forums, because I thought it was longer ago than that. Sorry, Greg.
Hmm. That's okay. That's okay.
Myself.
Yeah. So, yeah. We'll see what responses we get on the forums and take it from there, I think. Yeah,
so now I will throw this out there to those community members that have expressed interest or saying that they would potentially want to participate. This is all on you guys. So, you know, we wouldn't be producing the show on our end. We're absolutely happy to help anybody who wants to get started in doing something like that. And certainly, you know, Gengo Crimes also with his music podcast, any suggestions, tips you need, assistance, absolutely willing to help. My thought for a Minecraft podcast, and I don't know what you guys think about this, I'm not sure an audio podcast about Minecraft necessarily makes sense. What I thought could be a very cool Minecraft quote-unquote podcast would be if somebody could live stream playing of Minecraft and discussing the community. And then you could actually give some visual representation to what you're talking about. And then just post it up and have it go up on YouTube. That could be actually a pretty cool spin on doing a Minecraft podcast.
I think it would be good as well on the front page of Gate, like they do with the podcast, because it is something that's really captured the community's imagination.
Yeah,
and it's a good advert as well for our community, because we do get some very impressive stuff up there. So yeah, that's food for thought. If there was to be an audio one, like Greg says, if it does get recorded and everything, I don't think we've got any problem with piggybacking it with ours or whatever.
No. I have no problem helping them get it up and putting it up into our feed. I, you know, said I would do that before. So again, no issues with that. But you know, we have some limited time on our side. Just, you know, we have a hard enough time producing our own show. So I don't want somebody to think that. Yeah. I don't think I want somebody thinking that we're going to be putting forward a Overseas Connection Minecraft podcast. This is going to be a Gate Minecraft podcast that they, you know, somebody can give me the finished product, and I'll absolutely put it into our feed and get it posted up and promote it. I have no problem with that.
And you get new people to listen to, which is amazing.
Yes.
You might be an ERM-free podcast.
Yeah. And I'm all for this, because this is actually, you know, in a lot of ways, this is how I got started doing my podcast. So I'm all for trying to help somebody else do it. But speaking of helping somebody else, Mr. Matthew, you need to help us read Mark Wright's email.
Mark Wright answered the challenge, and he says, "Hey guys, so after getting called out on the show last week by Rich for not sending an email for a while, and I even had a certain person with a root vegetable for a facial feature hassling me about not emailing the show in so long, I'm sorry, and okay, I get the hint, lol." One word, Mark, punctuation. "Been playing a few games lately." Oh, there's a comma. "My lovely wife bought me Forza Horizon. I wasn't that impressed with the demo, to be honest, but the full game is very engrossing and I really, really like it. There's a lot of variety and challenges to keep it interesting, and the free roam aspect is a nice addition to the Forza franchise. I've also been playing Assassin's Creed 3. I love the Assassin's Creed franchise and have played every single game. This game is of the same high quality and looks stunning, but there are a few niggles with the controls and camera which are bugging me. I thought they had perfected the control system in Brotherhood. There were a few minor tweaks in Revelation which changed a few buttons around, but nothing major. But in Assassin's Creed 3, they've changed a lot and I just am not feeling it at the moment. They have tried to simplify the controls, but I feel they have gone backwards a tad. Why fix something that was not broken? Also, when in combat, I get a lot of camera issues, hid in the action behind walls, trees, bushes, etc. Very annoying. But these are just a couple of minor issues which are far overshadowed by the great things this game does. One of the new additions which I love is the naval battles. The feel of the boat, the sheer enjoyment of blasting another ship out of the water, and fantastic visuals and sound are just amazing. Story-wise, it is great, with a good twist early on. I never touched the multiplayer in Revelations, as the experience of it in Brotherhood was just a little bit tainted when most people just run about and go on the rooftops. But in Assassin's Creed multiplayer, it no longer works to just run around like an idiot. It surely pays now to play the game properly. There were the usual fools sprinting everywhere, and I just calmly walked around, blending in, sticking my blade into their throats as they ran past me. It's certainly a good gameplay improvement, and it looks absolutely fantastic. It makes me really want to get into the multiplayer side of this game.
Yeah, can I just throw out real fast? I think, yes, I'm going to anyway.
No, you're not.
Now that we've seen that
on the Minecraft server, but lately I've not had time. Hey, go ahead, Greg. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, with the naval battles being done so well in this game, and just Assassin's Creed 3's gameplay mechanics itself, it is time for us to get a proper pirate game.
Arr, pirates.
I just think, oh, it's my next wish.
Wasn't pirates. Sid Meier's Pirates, wasn't that one pretty good? I thought it was pretty good. I haven't played it.
It's pretty good, but I mean, a pirates game based off the Assassin's Creed 3 engine... That could be amazing.
Mm.
If I remember rightly, before Disney shut down their studios, they had a nearly finished Pirates game, didn't they?
Yes, and I saw it. It looked awesome. It looked awesome. I cannot believe they canceled that game.
Mm.
But, oh well.
Terrible. So anyway, he goes on. I still tried to get on the Minecraft server, but lately, not had the time. But doing a good share of hosting it, though, with Parsnip... And keep checking out the wonderful creations when patrolling the world. Patrolling. He's out there on patrol.
Yeah.
Making sure people aren't up to any shenanigans. Richard Primrose.
Neighborhood watch. Yep. Neighborhood watch.
To watch. Which brings me on to the question of the week. Do you like the segue? Well, actually, I thought the segue was a little bit before its time. But maybe now people are ready for it. Electric personal transports are the wave of the future.
Segue is dead.
Okay, fine. I would be interested in helping out with the Minecraft podcast. And I think it's a good idea, although maybe a little niche. Is that the way you pronounce the word?
Yes, so niche.
So I reckon either fortnightly or monthly would be the best option. It would need to be recorded Friday to Sunday, though, for me, as I work nights through the week. If I'm not involved in it, I would definitely be up for listening to it, smiley face. Well, I hope that satisfies you, Rich, after you told me off last week. Lol. I will try to get some more regular emails in like I used to. Have a great show.
I'm so satisfied.
God.
I can't be here anymore.
No, I'm not sure I can either. I would like to point out that Marcanix is calling for a very long podcast. He wants it to be recorded Friday to Sunday. That's an extremely long podcast.
All right, so then you can have something to listen to for the rest of the week. He finishes... Have a great show, and I love CP's new sexy-sounding mic. Well, thank you, Mark. And that's why I wanted to read your email, so that you can get more of it. And someone actually used the voicemail line.
Hello, Greg. Hello, Jen. Hello, CP and Mr. Skull. It is Steve, JSS Lifelike. Just called to, say hello, and haven't had a lot of time, been kind of busy with this, this whole baby thing, and I figured, I liked the preliminary, question of the week last week, and describe your sex life in the video game, and with this pregnancy, I gotta go left for dead. Not just because it is left for dead, but there's also the significance of the hand on the front of the box. I guess maybe a little bit of question here with the release of the Wii U. Coming up, do you think that there's any sort of, like maybe the third-party games could be a lifeline for PS3 Vita interaction, maybe? I don't know. It's something that's been going through my head. I mean, obviously, the Vita's on life support, and, I don't know if there's anything that can bring it back from that, but if anything does, I would think that it's that. So, I don't know. A little food for thought. Always great to listen, and I can't wait to hear the show. Take care. Bye.
All right, Steve, thank you for the voicemail, and that's a little rough. Left for Dead.
Cheers, John.
This is, sex life game.
That's probably worse than Alone in the Dark.
Yeah, that, Almost. But no, we appreciate Jeff calling into the show.
Yeah, always good to hear from our buddy Jeff.
Yes, it is. But let's talk about his question, which, you know, he wants to know, do we think the Wii U could potentially in some kind of weird way help Vita sales? Maybe the idea of, you know, people getting into or looking at the Wii U as this, tablet controller and then realizing the Vita could be their controller for their PS3. Maybe they would, you know, circumvent buying a Wii U and just say, well, I've got a PS3, I'll just buy a Vita. I think it's a noble thought. I just don't think consumers are going to be that savvy. I don't think that's going to help save the Vita. Based on everything I'm seeing with Vita sales right now, I don't think there's a whole hell of a lot outside of a potential price drop. Price drop that's going to save the Vita.
Yeah,
Frostboard as well.
I think the sales of the DS continue to confound me, simply because all indications are that a dedicated handheld gaming device is kind of a thing of the past. But for some reason, the DS just keeps on rocking. It's all types of single-use devices are kind of going away. I saw an interesting TED lecture once upon a time where the speaker asked everyone who was wearing a watch to raise their hand, and then everyone raised their hand, and he says, everyone who's under 35, put your hand down, or if you're under 35, keep your hand up. And almost all the hands went down because nobody under the age of 35 wears a wristwatch because it's a single-use device, right? Why buy it?
Yep.
So the same kind of thing is extending to mobile gaming. People are going to using their cell phones, especially these giant Android phones that are coming out.
Yeah,
my mother has an Android phone, and it's like, yeah, that's like carrying a phone book in your pocket.
Saw one today. It was literally in a leather wallet that looked like a Filofax.
Yeah, whatever that is. So anyway, no.
It was a Nexus one. It was a big-ass fucking Nexus.
Yeah, I know what a Nexus is. I don't know what a...
We're not sure what a Filofax is.
You can remember what Filofax was from the 80s.
No, not really.
That was a British thing.
Yeah.
All the uppies used to carry them.
I'm picturing you in the yard with a giant metal file grinding on a fax machine.
I believe this might clear it up for you, Chris. I think he's talking about an accordion file. Well, then we have no fucking clue what you're talking about, Primrose.
Yep, not a single solitary idea. In fact, if you're listening to this show right now and you'd like to help us, tweet us pictures of a file of fax. That would be helpful.
Yes. We would love to see what a file of fax is. All right, let's. Did anybody else want to weigh in on the Wii U Vita question?
Just to summarize my answer, which was rather lengthy and verbose. No.
Rich, did you want to expand upon
that? I think it's the pricing that's going to put anybody off seeing it as a different option. Because am I right in thinking that for nearly round about the same price you're buying this Vita for, you can get a base level Wii U anyway, can you? More or less?
Yeah. That's more or less about the same price. Yeah.
So, no.
All right. No. No, Steve. No. Price drop is only thing that's going to save it. All right.
But go Steve. Steve, you kick ass with a shotgun, mate. Tell you that. That's all I'm saying. I was so surprised. And by the way, you've got a ginger flat top in my XCOM game. Carol.
So, question for next week. And I was thinking about it. All the advertising promos we're starting to see, we saw it with Halo 4, the Doritos and the Mountain Dew. I believe Black Ops has some kind of similar promotion going on right now with different food things. Do these kind of promotions, do they hurt or help your view of a game, or are you indifferent? So, there might be a better way of posing this question, but I just kind of was thinking about it, because sometimes I get put off to it. Sometimes, I don't know. I'm just kind of wondering if other people get turned off when they start seeing the Doritos and the Mountain Dew billboards and stuff going up. Does it make you any less likely or maybe think twice about getting that game?
Hey, listen to this. Can I just cut in here with an incidental. We didn't used to have Mountain Dew in our shops. I think it briefly came in the 90s and then got took off the shelves. Halo 4, yeah, they've started putting it back on the shelves now. And last Friday I went to the shop and I thought I'm gonna have a bottle of that stuff. And I've heard various things about the amount of caffeine it's got in and all this lot, and you get a right buzz off it and all this. But, man, the taste of that stuff, it's like your tongue's lathered in acid or something. It's like, for the whole afternoon, I had like this, I was like going on the roof of my mouth. It was like, this stuff seriously affected the inside of my mouth.
Yeah, Mountain Dew, at least
inappropriate
for me.
Responses.
Yeah, I know. But Mountain Dew for me, not the best tasting soft drink out there.
Jeez.
By a long shot. So, yeah.
Flog yourself, DeLacy.
Apparently, Code Red. A lot of people like Code Red. That's
Mountain
the.
Is the nectar
punch
of
one.
The gods.
Okay. I think right about now we need to play a jingle and then let Chris go.
Jingle!
Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
Immunity events.
As with every Monday, it's just another Monster Monday. So go on out and smash some zombies. Friday Night Racing, Forza Horizon, still going on, 8:15 Gross Mountain Time. Rounds 3 and 4 of the F1 2012 Championship taking place on this Saturday. And the Veteran Gamers at 6 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time will be doing something. Mike's not here to tell us much, so you'll have to watch their show. No birthdays this week, so people around, let's see, this is November, go back February, around February time frame, we got to get busy, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, more fornication.
Yep, and welcome to the new members, iPete, who reminds you to check in on the forums now and again. Victories achieved this week. Womble Mark 3 has decided to enter the contest for finishing Halo 4. PG Tips, Amaras 89, and Kev H67 finished Halo 4 2.
You know what, Chris? Hang on. I'm going to have you do victories achieved over again. You're getting really Skypey on me.
Okay.
So let me think of how to do this. And do you have anything running in the background by chance?
Let me see. Maybe this. Let's try this. How about that? Is that better?
Seems like it's better.
Okay. Must have been Steam.
All right, yeah. Go victory achieved, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So, this week's victories achieved. Womble Mark III decided that after we gave him a ribbing last week, he would go ahead and enter the competition for having finished Halo 4 on release day. That man's out of control. PGTip 77, Amaras 89, Kev H67. Also finished Halo 4, so congratulations. Markenix, who emailed the show graciously today, finished the Forza Horizon Campagne. Maybe I should check out this Horizon thing. And the Ginger Ninja has finished Black Ops 2 already?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you people?
That's crazy.
So congratulations to Ginger Ninja.
And he's also ranked about 20 or something already on the multiplayer. That guy's not slept.
Yeah, I know. Ginge, come on. Lay off the Mountain Dew.
Hey.
Lay off
you
the Doritos.
Prestige. They've convinced us we got to prestige 80 times, otherwise we're not real people or something.
No, at least take a breath before you finish the game. I mean, jeez.
I've never prestiged once. Maybe I'll try it one of these days just to see what it's like.
I regretted the day I did it the first time. I will never prestige again.
I did pass into Legend on Red Dead Redemption, and I regretted that immediately. Are we congratulating Gary Lever again? Is that
we can, yeah. I think we should. Yeah.
Congratulations. We'll congratulate you every week until the end of January when there's a new winner. speaking of the end of January when there's a new winner, as always, To enter the Victory Achieve contest, you must be 18 years of age. You must follow at g4te.com on Twitters. Spell the dot. The next contest began last week on the 2nd of November, and the entries for this next contest are due January the 31st, 2013. Although really, you only have until December the 21st, 2012, because after that, it's all over, folks. And that brings us to everyone's favorite part of the show, where the three of us shut up and someone else does the talking.
Hello, it's Bongo the Sane here, and welcome to another gaming fact. Rather strange, possibly obscure, but definitely a gaming fact.
In 1986, a newspaper from the UK called the Daily Mail had a headline on its front page, "Freddie Starr Ate My Hamster." If that headline had not been published, we probably wouldn't be waiting on Grand Theft Auto V. What do Freddie Starr, Mohammed Al-Fayed, Simon Cowell, a little company called DMA Design, and Lemmings all have in common? One man links them all. Max Clifford. Max Clifford is a publicist from the UK. Back in 1986, Max Clifford represented Freddie Starr, a television comedian with some success over here. Incidentally, Freddie Starr has just been arrested for child porn offences. Anyway, back in 1986, he was floundering for an up-and-coming tour, and he asked for the help of Max Clifford, and Max invented the story about Freddie coming out of a concert one night, being hungry and eating someone's hamster. Completely and utterly fabricated, but it made Freddie very, very popular, and everyone wanted to go to his concerts. Helping Freddie Starr get headlines in the Daily Mail and other UK papers is what put Max Clifford on the map. And his client list to this day holds people like Simon Cowell, Mohammed Al-Fayed. If you want to publicise your product or your story, and if it's a bit awkward, Max Clifford is probably the man to do it. Fast forward to 1997. A small company based in Edinburgh, Scotland, called DMA Design, were working on a project. They were about to launch a brand new game, and that game was called Grand Theft Auto. Previous projects that they worked on were Lemmings. After the success of Lemmings, they went on to create Grand Theft Auto. Not what we know today, but an open-world, top-down affair. It was original, right, but not what you would call an instant classic. The game was almost finished, and DMA were struggling to get the publicity that they wanted for this game. They called on the services of Max Clifford. Max Clifford went out and stirred up a storm of publicity for the forthcoming Grand Theft Auto. He planted stories, sensational stories, about how violent and how dangerous Grand Theft Auto was going to be to the children and to all people that played computer games of the time. In fact, the aforementioned Daily Mail, their headline was, "It was an evil game. Evil game. And it required an outright ban." By today's standards, the game was pretty tame. You could run down a row of Hare Krishnas walking innocently down the street, handing out flowers and collecting money, and you were encouraged to knock down pedestrians and steal cars and shoot people. But it was pretty tame. The reality is that if DMA, now Rockstar Games, hadn't brought on board Max Clifford to cause this media storm around this game, it might have just slipped by as another top-down shooter with mildly interesting graphics and original gameplay, and we may not have had Grand Theft Auto 3, 4, and the soon-to-come 5. So, for what it's worth, thank you very much, sir. I live in hope that Grand Theft Auto 5 is not populated by Eastern European thugs and gangsters, but by those beautiful, lovely little lemmings. Bongo out. Simon Cowell was unfortunately not hurt during this recording.
All right, Bongo, thank you for that amazing little fact. Who would have thunk? Max Clifford. Yeah.
Clifford. Toy Clifford.
All right, so we're at that time. We're going to start wrapping things up. The Indie Writers Block, still going strong. If you have a hankering for testing out your writing skills and want to write something video game related or not so video game related, the Indie Writers Block is a good place for you. right on the old Gate Forums front page of the Gate site, I should say. So all you need to do is contact Jay Schumacher, and you do that by sending an email to iwb@g4te.com, or you can also tweet him at iwblock, and he will hook you up with getting set up to do a little writing. And iTunes reviews, Rich, I believe we have a new iTunes review?
We do have three iTunes reviews.
Three?
That's what... This is the bonus from not looking for so long. It's great. But actually, they've all come in the month of October, so that's great. So the first one is from Crash Test Dummy, who said, "Love the podcast. The crew gel nicely and is always entertaining. Man hugs to all. Especially with the gel. Love it. Great stuff." And then Superb came in from RJack1884. He put, "Top notch, res-nosed, trouser-dropping, entertaining podcast that somehow meshes light-hearted quips with gaming news and opinion. All in all, worth a listen." And then we had another one from Richard Finch. That's Raw Finch, I believe. "This is a great, well-put-together podcast. It's fun and easy to listen to. Presenters are all crazy about video games, and there's a great community linked with the podcast that has events so you can meet up online and play your favourite games with new people, and most of all, Chinny is gay. Lol, 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 lol. Keep up the good work, and I'm sorry for the bad spelling. Much love, Raw Finch, 1983. There you go.
Okay. Chinny is gay. Who would have thunk?
I believe those reviews were all on the UK side of the iTunes, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Come on, Yanks. Falling behind.
Just saying. One of those reviews I know for sure we actually already had read off, Rich, but I believe that was one of those podcasts that you had missed out on, so that's okay. It's always good to promote.
I didn't know that.
It's okay. Well, obviously, you weren't here.
It never hurts to say thanks again for the...
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
That particular review deserved to be read out twice.
Maybe even three times.
Mm.
Hell, we might read them out every day this week.
Until we get some new ones.
Sure. iTunes reviews, we really do appreciate them. So thank you to everybody who just did those iTunes reviews. And if you're thinking about doing an iTunes review, thank you as well. We'll put aside government grants for you from the United States or the United Kingdom in large sums of money. We'll contact you via email. We'll ask you for your bank account information, and we will transfer money into your account, we promise, for those iTunes reviews. So keep them coming, and definitely get us that information. In the meantime, if you want to email the show, it's real simple, ocpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to hear Rich respond on Twitter, or think it's Rich responding on Twitter when it's actually me or somebody else from the show, that would be a tweet to @OC_podcast. And then there's this telephone line thing that Steve Conger did, which is 626-50-OC-POD, or if you just like numbers, 626-506-2763. And that's me not letting the rest of the hosts speak until we go to shout-outs.
That's good.
Chris, shout-out.
I'm gonna shout-out Rich for getting into XCOM. Way to go. And I'm going to shout-out Dauntless Ansible, because I believe he was the last one to leave us an iTunes review on the U.S. side of things. Oh, nope. There's one from September. New Jersey Movie Guy. So thanks, New Jersey Movie Guy. If we didn't read out your review, I'm very sorry.
We might have to next week.
Might have to do that next week. Unfortunately, I don't have our Facebook Fan of the Week just yet, so maybe you'll hear about two of them next week. Yep, Greg.
Okay. I also will shout out Rich for getting on board with XCOM. It's great to see somebody else indoctrinated. Slowly but surely, we will take over the world.
That's not Greg. Mass Effect is indoctrination.
XCOM is
mind control.
Yeah, and that, talk about brutal. Nothing worse than getting somebody mind controlled and then having to realize you're going to have to take out one of your own people. I also want to shout out Koi No Yoken. If I'm not saying that right, well, that's my bad. We played some Halo 4 at lunchtime. Had a blast, so big shout out to him. And Rich. Oh, wait. Shout out to Mike's brother for having a baby. Apparently the guy loves having kids. He had another one tonight, and that's why Mike isn't here, actually. It's kind of the real reason. But he's a breeder, and I told Mike that, he's probably responsible for overpopulation in the United Kingdom.
Which is why Mike's probably now playing Castle Crashers co-op, because he's babysitting the kids.
Also true.
Yep.
All right, Rich, go.
Yeah, I'm going to shout out Koi No Yokan as well. Because that's Mark Davis, who was Knife Party. So if you did have a friend called Knife Party, if that's, you've suddenly got this strange oriental sounding name on your friends list, don't delete it, because it is Knife Party. I'm gonna shout out Giant Bomb just from a few weeks ago, because it is a great podcast, and also I thought they did a very good in-depth discussion about the whole Halo 4, Jeff Keighley, and
Doritos, Mountain Dew, yeah.
All that stuff. They did a really, and I think them guys have got integrity, and I love the way that they portrayed themselves, and they carried it off really well. So shout out to them. I'm also going to shout out, for the complete opposite, the Weekend Confirmed. Did you hear that this week? Right.
Yeah,
so they've been discussing it as well, and basically, for anyone that doesn't know, Weekend Confirmed are a bit more corporate, aren't they? Aren't they linked with, they've got lots of sponsorship anyway, and all this other stuff. Anyway, they did a really in-depth discussion, and then the following week, this week, I think it was Jeff Kanada, basically started talking about the amazing 3D in Assassin's Creed 3. And then realised that the television that he'd been playing that on was given to him via a tweet competition, Twitter competition, which he then went to extreme lengths to explain that he'd not got this television as any part of any sort of gaming-related giveaway type thing. And it was hilarious to listen to. I just loved it. It was great.
Oh, yeah. There was some major backpedaling going on.
There was some good backpedaling going on. So I'm going to shout out Weekend Confirmed, because that was very, very good. And the final one, another a little podcast like ourselves, which I think is well worth a listen. I think Chris would particularly like this one, because it's very good. It's called Transatlantic Rants, and basically it's a guy from Canada and a guy from England that basically just draw up a list of topics to moan about for probably about an hour and a half, and it's got a wide range of things. It's not just gaming related, but they will go into games. They extensively talk about movies, which I think Chris would appreciate, and also all other things that happen throughout our daily lives, so it's well worth a listen. So anybody that's got a few hours to spare, like we all have, get on it. And I've got a non-shout out to the Activision Call of Duty servers, which currently aren't bloody working, so I can't play multiplayer after this fucking podcast.
Apparently they're taking a page out of EA's book, eh?
Yeah, it looks like it, yeah.
Yes. Well, just more XCOM for you.
Yeah, and I'm going to shout out Skidmore, because he's just sent me a message on my Xbox.
Cheers.
There you go.
It's good enough.
We're done.
Done.
Bye-bye.
Oh, mustaches. Gotta do one of them.
How's your mustache, by the way?
He's big. And it's
I like that you have this personal attachment to it.
It's gone grey at the bottom. It's like all fluffy and grey at the bottom. It's weird. Yes.
So you're one of those guys that wants the next Mass Effect to be all about playing it. What are those characters again? It's the name of the alien race that's like
the
that?
Elcor.
Yeah, the Elcor.
No.
You don't want to play as the Elcor?
No. Unless it's the Elcor tanks that they kind of hinted at during Mass Effect 3. That would be badass.
You got to figure, they've got to have something. Otherwise, how do they exist? Question of the week for 195.
It's peaceful galaxy, Greg, where everyone works for the betterment of themselves and everyone else. And all that shit. Yes. I will do that. Yes. I will do that as soon as my computer stops freaking out. Hold on. Son of a bitch.
Ah, computers. Don't we love them? I mean, if you think about it, where the hell would we... I mean, we would be like... We'd be carrying around big-ass phones and files, accordion files. And I mean, computers... I could go on this tangent for a while. That's
diskettes,
not going to make a lot of...
Diskettes were invented by computers to help us. Yes.
Yes.
Now, I had the show notes open, and then when I went to click on them, they just closed randomly. Why? Because Bill Gates hates me. Anyway.
That's because you're a traitor to the cause, and you secretly love Apple in the background.
I don't believe that has anything to do with it, Greg.
Oh, it totally does. They know. They know, Chris.
In fact, I'm almost certain that has nothing to do with it. If anything, they should be making things work extra well for me because I have been an Apple fanboy for years, and I have recently started using a PC again, but they're in danger of me going back. You see? You see what I'm saying?
Email.
No. I'm not going to do it. Okay. So Mark Wright... This is what I like. Skullduggerer runs his mouth, and I end up reading the email.
It's Steve Conger, isn't it? I keep hearing Jeff, and I know that was bullshit. But then I've heard John Conger as well.
His first name actually is John, but he goes by Steve.
Why?
Because he's American, and that's his right, damn it.
Yes, I believe his dad is also named John.
All right. Okay.
So he's... John, I believe his proper name is like Jonathan Stephen Conger or something like that. So he just goes by Steve Conger.
Well, if this makes the outtakes, cheers, Steve, because you made me feel like a complete twat because I thought I was calling you the wrong name for the last fucking 2 years, but never mind.
Jonathan Stephen Jeffrey Conger.
Yeah. Yep. And I could be completely wrong on his actual real name, so we can all feel like twats now.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, you said twat wrong again. Yeah. Americans, you Americans can't say twat right.
What do you mean?
You
twat. Twat.
You twat.
Don't be a twit, you twat.
Twat.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
We're jingling.
I know. I'm holding on. See, if you'd have been quiet, we'd have already been done with the jingle.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.